This is the 007 Debriefings. I'm Intelligence Officer Wiz.
And I'm Weapon Specialist Zero.
Zero, how you doing this week?
A little bit of a mind screw for my day job, but yeah. I'll get over it.
We're here to comb the files of MI6 to discuss the cinematic adventures of one James Bond. This week, Octopussy. Zero. I don't even want to know this is a double entendre or not. That just sounds nasty.
I just think of the Simpsons episode where Lisa learns about her first major love that ends up disappointing her. And Homer ends up meeting the guy's parents and he's like, you know what you English are known for? Octopussy. I've seen that movie twice.
We can always bring it back to Simpsons and make it all better. Okay. There's not much else to say about this. Let's just get into it. So let's get into our mission objectives for Octopussy. This is where we discuss certain elements of the film. So let's start with 007, who is James Bond, played by Roger Moore.
This one seems to be yet another one that he seems to be a little bit more in his element. Lots of spy and espionage sort of shenanigans, not too much on the action. And once again, the action stuff is much better choreographed. It looks like it's just more a continuation of iterative improvement, which is good.
I agree with you. But I think the thing that the film also does, it leans heavily on camp and comedy, which I think really works for Moore in this movie. Except for one scene where he kind of pulls a Connery when it comes to the Bond girl. And it just seems really freaking awkward. I think the way it was in Connery too, it felt awkward as well. But this felt even more awkward when I was watching this scene. Basically, the film goes for with camp and comedy, and I think it excels in that end too. I think you're right as well. It's more of an emphasis on spy craft, sneaking around, getting intel, which I think really works well with Moore in this movie.
A good mention on the Bond girl shenanigans, just, yeah, that felt a little bit kind of out of Moore's element, because I was like, yeah, that's kind of a Connery move. It doesn't really work for him here.
No. His Bond is basically more of a smooth operator, but also kind of gets himself entangled just through the comedic nature of his character. So for him to be as forceful as he was in that scene was just like, didn't seem right at all. So yeah, I actually very much agree with you on this. So let's get into villains. So there are two villains in Octopussy, but much like from Rush with Love, you have more of the secondary villain that's in play, and then there is the primary villain. Let's get into the secondary villain first, which is Kamal Khan, played by Louis Jourdain.
Khan's kind of a planner. He's kind of someone who always tries to set up like the most perfect plan and everything. And that's just how he kind of comes off. And though right from the start, he does get outsmarted by Bond pretty badly. And then once again on the second encounter that Bond has with him. The premise of the first time being fooled is kind of like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. The second time is kind of like all right, just Bond's being clever. You're hoping that maybe he has sort of a way to sort of cheat his way back in the game of backgammon, but somehow it's just like Bond figures it out, and it's just like, okay, so you've got this super crafty villain who's a planner, thinks ahead like 12 moves at once, and you're saying just Bond gets the jump on him twice? This could have been done a little better.
Yeah. He's kind of a less effective Goldfinger, both in charm and, I guess, in your sense, planning. He's pretty petulant throughout the entire film, but he's meant to be like a person who has a cold, calculated streak. But the one thing that he has in this movie that I think Goldfinger did not have is he's a complete slime ball. He's just somebody you look at and go, oh, God, do I have to be around this guy again? Like, bleh. That's kind of how I felt about him. He's fine, though. I think he's all right as, like, the secondary villain in this. But because you see him more, he's not as effective as you would like him to be in this one. So I think my main issue is just that he's not the main villain, and there's other elements that are more interesting in this film, aside from the villain, which is Kamal Khan in this. And let's get into who is actually the primary villain, which is General Orloff, played by Steven Berkoff. This is basically the male version of Kleb from Rush with Love. He's barely in the film. He only pops up at certain points, and he's mostly regulated as a background character. He's interesting mainly because he's probably the most human villain of any of the series. He's operated on jealousy, anger, and the feeling like he's not appreciated, which is interesting, but he's not given any time at all. He's the reason why this is moving forward, but then it makes Kamal Khan the person that you would have to identify with. So there's that weird kind of juxtaposition there.
General Orlov, unfortunately, feel was completely squandered, because, like, when you see him in the scene where he's meeting with the rest of the Soviet government and everything, you're just like, all right, so we've got a guy who wants to, you know, make Russia on the up and up. He's got this war planned against the West, and he's got everything just tacked down to a T, but at the same time, his motivation is just he hates that the West is kind of stomping down on Russia, and he wants to kind of give the West a dose of their own medicine. And you see that there's just a lot of emotional motivation for him. It's like he's got a chip on his shoulder and he just wants to get his plan done. And then, as usual, the bureaucracy is just like, no, man, just if you do this, we're going to get freaking nuked by NATO. Just your idea's dumb. All it just does is just inspire him to just continue on with his conspiracy to get his plan in action. And then by the end, when people figure out his little conspiracy, yeah, he gets shot in the back by some border guards and that's it. And it's just like, oof.
Yeah.
Wow. Squandered. This could have been like a brilliant villain to showcase.
Yeah. The villain should have been reversed in this one, where Orlov is the main villain and you see more of him in this one, where you can see Kamal Khan as the secondary villain and he's just doing, I guess, the dirty work. I agree. I think this is a villain that is greatly squandered, who could have been a lot more interesting than Khan, but because they made him into a background character, it's just, again, like you said, completely squandered on that end. So let's get into Bond Girl, which is Octopussy, played by Maud Adams.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Okay.
Mostly because she's just a very cunning Bond woman and everything. And also, she can kind of hold her own. She's kind of a jewel thief, so she's also pretty fucking crafty.
Yeah, she is very interesting for a number of reasons. One, she's older. She's a character that's supposed to be in her 40s in this movie. Is that kind of correct on that end?
I think so.
She runs a crime organization and, is, like you said, is also a jewel thief and a businesswoman. Like, she's very capable on this. She's also a secondary antagonist for the first half of the film, which is also incredibly fascinating. I like the idea of having a Bond girl who is also a villain. That just sounds really cool to me.
It's just excellent.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's just so rare that to see like a Bond girl who can kind of hold her own, but also antagonizes Bond as well too. And it's something that I wish we'd see a little bit more often, but one can only dream.
Yeah. The only issue I have with the character is that by the time you actually see her in person, her character pretty much gets neutered 5 minutes later. And that's when we talk about the seduction scene, where she just kind of gives in to the magic penis of Bond, and suddenly she's all for Bond in this world, where she was more than willing to kill him earlier, which I found, like, really weird. At that point, I was like, oh, that kind of ruins the character a little bit. But what I will say is the background around her as well, which is the compound, the cult that she runs, all the women that she has in her cult that does a lot of fighting, gunplay, stuff like that. Instantly fascinating. It's something that I would have liked to have seen that be spun off into something else. That was the thing that I found instantly fascinating. It's like, wow, you have all these capable women who look incredibly gorgeous and yet are kicking ass. Why not make it into something bigger? It's just, I don't think they did anything else with this. I think for the character of Octopussy, it's a fascinating idea. It works really well. There's that one small issue that I have. But other than that, I think it's great. I agree with you on that. So let's get into spy action.
This one is definitely much more heavier on kind of the spy and espionage, especially right in the beginning. You've got like this ring that is involved in making counterfeit Fabergé eggs and Russian crown jewels and stuff like that. Of course, just Bond gets his hand on a counterfeit Fabergé egg, and then they start off with, yeah, so, you know, we want to find out who the seller behind this particular Fabergé egg is, because it's quite valuable, and it seems to be the same one that this counterfeit is made from. You get to the auction and everything, and then Bond cleverly swaps out the real Fabergé egg for the counterfeit with a sleight of hand trick, and it's just like, ah, shit, here we go, just, we're already into the espionage stuff, and sleight of hand trick right from the get-go. This is going to be packed with just spy and espionage sort of like shenanigans, and this one delivers it in the spades.
I agree with you. I think the best parts of this movie are the spy craft, getting intel from certain things as well. I think the film in that way works really well, especially with how Moore is with these scenes. I do want to say, though, that the action stunts and scenes are not bad, but this film really went heavy on comedy and camp. And we're talking about ridiculous stunts with the cars that are on their sides, or popping wheelies in a cart. And what do they call those carts in India? Are they tuk-tuks? What are they called?
I think it's similar to like a tuk-tuk or something. I'm not 100% okay. Sure.
I'm not either. But the small cars that they have in those kind of countries, that they have like boosters and they pop wheelies and stuff. It's like, okay, that's a little ridiculous. But I think it works because the film just says, you know what? We're just going to go for it. We're just going to go full bore with the camp and cheese and we're just going to have fun. And I did enjoy it. Like, I thought it was pretty good in that end. But what I will say is I think I just had your slightly whistle reaction in this movie. When Bond is going from vine to vine, they have the Tarzan yell. And I'm like, why do that?
Yeah, that one was a little awkward. It was like, fucking really?
It was kind of like hammering the joke home a little too hard. And I'm like, that wasn't necessary. But okay, fine, whatever. But I agree with you. I enjoyed the action. I really enjoyed the spycraft stuff. The
action overall, it's good. I mean, it's not like world-shattering or anything. It's just good.
Yeah, it's not like incredible. I guess with Moore and his age at this point and his capabilities, I think it's less and less believable when he does those action stunts. I think one example is on the top of the train. At no point was I buying that at all. I was like, oh my God, he's going to kill himself. What are you doing? The action's fine. I enjoyed it, but I definitely enjoyed the spycraft elements more in this. So I agree with you on that one. But let's get into theme song and opening credits. And the song is All Time High, composed by John Barry. Lyrics by Tim Rice and performed by Rita Coolidge.
I thought it was all right. It wasn't bad, but I just thought it was kind of all right.
I'm with you. I think the song's fine. I think it's a good song. It's just got the same problem with the others that I have is that seem to be more love song focused. It doesn't fit well with the film. And I keep saying this in these movies, where if there is more of a romantic element in the film, I can understand why it's there and why it would fit. But it just doesn't in this movie. So I think the song's fine, but it just doesn't fit with the rest of the film. Which we had a comment on our review for Your Eyes Only, and the person basically said that movie had the second best Bond theme song of all time. And I guess I want to just state, like, I'm not saying the song is bad. What I'm saying is it just doesn't fit with the rest of the movie. But I think what we'll do at the end when our favorite songs, we might have to discuss what are the best songs outside of the context of the Bond movie itself. Maybe that's what we have to do. I look at it as, is the song good and does it fit with the movie? And most of the songs are good, but it just doesn't fit. And this is the same way with me on this one.
Song seems fine. It just didn't feel like it matched up with the movie. It's not a bad song, just I don't know what it is. It just does not feel like it fits with this movie.
No, it really doesn't. But what I will say that does fit is the opening credit sequence. I think that fits really well. And the use of the models and the lights being imposed on the woman's body is definitely evocative of Goldfinger and From Russia with Love. And just the look and the feel of that opening sequence also fits really well with the rest of the movie. Because you have these women who are looking seductive and looking sexy, and they're having guns pointed at them, and they're looking at like, yeah, whatever, dude. Which fits really well with the rest of the movie as well, with Octopussy and her cult. So I think the opening credit sequence is really well done in this.
The opening sequence stuff, just classic, classy Bond opening. Fantastic light play and things like that, and it's just kind of what my mind draws up in its imagination when, you know, you talk about vintage Bond movies with just sort of the classy openings. This is sort of one that sort of evokes that imagery.
It fits well, and it's kind of a throwback to other Bond films and other, I guess, opening sequences as well. All right, Zero, so let's get into our conclusions.
Octopussy, I think, is a fantastic film. It is a bit heavy on the comedy end, so if you're not really too thrilled about the idea of a Bond film that is a little bit more comedy focused, then this one might kind of be polarizing to you. It's actually good with respect to the movie because just you've got these comedic sequences that happen, and of course Roger Moore and his impeccable delivery of the Bond one-liners and stuff like that. This one is also a little bit more spy and espionage focused, so if you like just Bond just outwitting the enemies and stuff like that, this one is probably going to be real fun for you. With the mention of the comedy, there are things that do not work too well, kind of like the weird insertion of the Tarzan yell when Bond goes swinging between the vines. Overall, I would say this is a mission accomplished, but I think it's just because you've got so many other good things that are going for the movie, especially Maude Adams as Octopussy, just fantastic stuff.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one, too. Mission accomplished for me as well. I just like the fact that the film just owns what it is. A lot of the other Moore films, when they try to do comedic parts, they still try to make it serious in a way, and it just feels odd. I think Moonraker was a big reason why Moonraker did not work. But because the film decided, you know what, we're just going to go campy and just run with it. I think because they did that, it worked better for this movie as well. I think it's probably one of Moore's best. And so I actually enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I just didn't take it as seriously as I did the others as well. But I agree. Octopussy, the character, is done really well. Maude Adams is very good as Octopussy. And I just enjoyed it more. I just enjoyed the fact that it just was honest with what it was and just said, we're going to just stick with that and go for it. And they did. And it was fun. It was enjoyable. Overall, I would say mission accomplished as well. So mission accomplished for you?
Yep.
Mission accomplished for me. That's mission accomplished for Octopussy. Now, if you want my full review on this movie, you can go to my website at IamTheWiz.com. You'll have my full written review right on the site, along with a link to the video that has this review that you've just listened to. Okay, Zero, so for next week, we are going to watch the final Moore film of the James Bond series, and that is...
A View to a Kill.
That's right. From
1985.
Man, 1985. It is kind of surprising watching these films and realizing they're from around the time I was born. They still seem like they're 70s films in a way. But yes, it's A View to a Kill, the 1985 film, which is the 14th James Bond film. We are past the halfway point, Zero. You getting excited?
Yeah, getting a little bit closer to the more modern-day contemporary Bonds, which those are the ones I have a little bit of a better memory of since I've watched those more often, since the context is a little bit more relevant to my age, so getting pretty excited.
Yeah, same here. I got into Bond when I watched Goldeneye in the theaters. It's funny, I watched all of the Pierce Brosnan ones in the theaters, but that was it. I didn't watch any of the Craig ones, which are the ones I really wished I did, because they're fucking gorgeous, but we'll get to that when that comes. So, tune in next time where we review A View to a Kill. I am Intelligence Officer Wiz.
And I'm Weapons Specialist Zero.
Talk to you guys next time. Bye.